Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Freddie Morris from NOTLP.com, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Wow, look at you, plugging your website just like from the beginning.
Hey, I jumped right in.
That's bold.
That's right.
That's bold. This is Freddie from Night of the Living Podcast is our guest this week. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm flattered to be here.
We're all fatter.
That's right.
What's funny is when I was at my Pirates of the Caribbean screening this week, somebody actually recognized me from television.
Oh yeah,
and which is kind of fun. It's less fun because then you can't be like a jerk to people.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, because like last week I totally stole this woman's parking space and I had like yelling at her and stuff, and I realized I'm like. I need to have I already have a mustache. I need to have like a wig, like some wacky wig that I walk around on so no one recognizes me from television. Be like, that Kevin Carr's a real jerk.
You also wear these really like, it's like signature to wear these loud shirts. I've noticed.
I do when I can, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the wild man look. And that then, you'd pick you out in a crowd in an instant right there.
I know it's terrifying. So yeah. But this woman's like, because they recognize you, they're like, oh, you. And they got so excited. I'm just like, seriously. And she's like, oh, you're from. And I go, Fat Guys at the Movies. She goes, yeah, I didn't want to say it. I'm like, what, am I going to get offended?
You're like, you named the show.
You called me fat. How dare you? Smack her and run out crying. You know.
It's like you're from Ugly Guys at the Horse Races.
That's right. Yeah, your mama's. Anyways, but yeah, I was actually going to do a piratey intro, you know, like greetings ye couch potatoes across the country or something like that, and it was such an unmitigated disaster when I did the Asgard version of the opening of the show from the Thor episode.
Right, the Mighty Kevin. Right?
The Mighty Kevin, yes, right. the Mighty Fat Guys of the movie. So I decided not to do that. Anyways, before we go in to talk a little bit about Freddie and what he does, let's talk about the show. You can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can download us from iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. And again, we show up, as does Fozzie Bear's podcast. The guys poaching our iTunes feed somehow. But you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. ATM, yes. Okay, I always have to double check it. And then you can send us an email at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. We don't have a voicemail this week, although I do have a listener response. It came to me, ironically, through a Words with Friends game that I had, but we'll talk about that later in a segment. But Freddie, tell us who you are, what you do. This is the first time you've been on the show. Just kind of give us a little bit of rundown on that website that you talked about earlier in the segment.
Yeah. NOTLP.com. I throw that out there with my name because I'm not like a household name. So if people know NOTLP,
says you,
but they don't know who I am. I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, Night of the Living Podcast. That's what NOTLP stands for. We have been doing a horror podcast for 5 years, a little over 5 years now.
Which is impressive because that predates Fat Guys, and we just hit our 200th episode not too long ago. But are you guys in 300s?
We are doing episode 229 this coming weekend, and we have done a number of other specials, that sort of thing. So I'm not really sure how many we've done altogether.
I think you're in the 260s because I was listening to some this week, and I think you're in the 260s.
Yeah,
during Asian, what is it, Asian Horror Week?
yeah, we're doing Asian Horror Month for Asian History Month, doing a different film from different Asian countries. We've done China, Japan. We did Mr. Vampire, which is a kung fu comedy featuring Chinese hopping vampires. That was this most recent week.
You know, there's a lot of hopping going on in Chinese. Have you seen the Chinese ghost story movies?
You know what? That I've seen bits and pieces, and now after seeing Mr. Vampire, I'm dying to see more
hopping monsters. Hopping Chinese monsters. I don't quite. I guess apparently, when you become a monster in China, you start hopping.
Yep, you're doomed to a life of bunny rabidness. So. As a Chinese vampire.
Voiced by Russell Brand.
That's right. They should have him overdub all the vampire voices in all Chinese
movies. Every Chinese movie. Yeah. And it should be like all Russell Brand. Like not like sort of doing a different character. So what he could be, he'd be like, hello, governor. This is my only British accent I do. Hello, governor. What's going on? He's like, I don't think I know you very well. And it's obviously the same character. It's not like Harry Shearer on The Simpsons.
I agree. I think it should be just his voice coming out of every actor's face.
That would be awesome.
That would. That would just up the ante there. We did Japan the week before. And I'm drawing a blank.
See, now you're turning into a rabbit.
Yeah, I'm becoming an old man here. And then we'll be doing India. We're doing a movie called Funk, which is
Funk, F-O-O-N-K or something like that?
P-H-O-O-N-K, and it is reputedly the most terrifying film ever made, according to the people who made it. It's a story of Indian black magic.
Wow.
So that'll be coming up on episode 229. But yeah, so every week we
get insert racist joke here.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's, and we do have like a racist jar, like for anybody who says anything insensitive. We're building up quite a fund to donate to some Asian charity. One of our own, Andy, is his family immigrated here from Hong Kong, and we're celebrating with him. You
that's
know,
somewhere
that
in Asia, isn't it?
It's somewhere in Asia. I think it's in Europe.
Okay. I think it's in Iceland.
It's somewhere, yes, somewhere wherever Thor came from. It's from it's Asgardian, I think.
His family's from Asgard.
They're from Asgard.
And a giant robot with like beams coming out of his face are going to like wipe you out because of this.
So I'm real excited. I like doing this Asian history thing. We try to do themes on the show, but we do mostly one mainstream or big budget movie and one low budget straight to video movie every week.
Okay. Do you get to see? Do you go out and see a whole lot of horror movies?
Sadly, no. The funny thing is, I used to. I've always been a huge fan of horror films, but
which makes sense. You started a horror podcast,
exactly. Yeah. So,
I love romantic comedy, so let's do a horror podcast.
We almost made Night of the Loving podcast at one point, and it was going to be all romantic comedies, but we went this route instead. So I don't get out often to see new movies anymore because. You know, we all have day jobs. It's more of a passion thing for us, and we have very limited time to watch movies. So now we spend most of our time watching whatever strange feature we have for the show that week, and oftentimes they're just some of the strangest movies I've ever seen.
Well, that's cool. You're expanding your horizons.
Yeah, it's ruined my sensibilities, though. When I watch a mainstream movie now, I never know how to react to it.
You'd be like, where's the hopping vampires?
Exactly. Yeah, something always feels missing.
What's funny, I'll give a little plug for where I'm going to be this weekend, and then when we come back, we're going to go to a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about new movie this week instead of new movies. I'm going to be, you should go to one of these sometimes. It's the 24-hour sci-fi movie marathon in Columbus, Ohio, and they're showing War of the Worlds, the original, they're showing Buckaroo Banzai, Late for Dinner, Planet of the Vampires.
Nice.
Like Italian horror space drama. They're showing they're showing Troll Hunter and the Indian film Robot, which is apparently 2.5 hours long and has music in it. Of course, because like every Indian film has big song and dance numbers. but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. They do a horror one in October. You and the NOTLP.
NOTLP.
Crew. NOTLP
yep.
crew should come up and check that out.
We
sometime.
Would love to do that.
24-hour horror movies.
And since I've established that Columbus is closer to Cincinnati than I originally suspected, even though I've driven there.
We got to go to a break. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are going to be talking about movie. Well, there is another movie out this weekend, which we're going to save talking about until the third segment, just because there's going to be a lot of puns made about this that are not going to be appropriate for the radio. Let's just say that. This one, though, we're going to be talking a little bit about the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, or Caribbean. Nah, tomato, tomato. But this one's Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Jack Sparrow returns with Penelope Cruz and more pirate shenanigans, this time looking for the Fountain of Youth.
Jack, have you ever seen with your own eyes the Fountain of Youth?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, please? We know you're in possession of a map.
You could guide an expedition.
I could use a ship. What has become of my beloved Pearl?
Taken. Blackbeard.
Before we talk about the new one, I wanted to get your take on the first three.
Okay. I can tell you when I saw, I had no idea what I was in, you know, what was awaiting me with the first film. I don't know if that was okay. Your experience or not.
Yeah, I just walked. It was just another movie. I was just like, oh, let me check this out.
Exactly. I was like, you know, pirates. I love pirates. Let's see this. When the moment that I knew I was in for something different is when you realize that Captain Jack Sparrow has ridden in the crow's nest all the way to the shore on his sinking ship, and then just he walks. Just drunkenly steps off.
Yeah. And what's so great about that, I said that once, because I rewatched all three movies. I didn't do them on all one day because that's a lot of movie.
Yeah.
But I did the first two, and I showed them to my kids. I did my first two, and then I did the third one the following weekend. And I put out on Twitter, I said, that's probably the best entrance. It's a classic, one of the best entrances of a character. Like right up there with Indiana Jones stepping into the light.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader coming into the rebel ship through the smoke and the stars flanked by stormtroopers.
It's totally iconic. I mean, it's an iconic scene. It'll be here. Our grandchildren will recognize that scene. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. So you love the first movie.
The first movie blew me away. Like I thought I had never at this point in my life seeing Pirates of the Caribbean. I had never been to Disney World. I didn't know there was I'd heard the term, you know, I'd heard of the ride, but I didn't know at all. I had no remote clue of how much style and like swagger and character that this movie was going to have. And down to every character in the cast, not just, even though obviously Johnny Depp steals every scene he was in this movie. Sure. Like the supporting cast, even Orlando Bloom, who a lot of times I find to be kind of
lame.
Yeah, he kind of fades into the background for me. In this movie, I bought him as his character. Keira Knightley was like charming and beautiful. And
this was her first big role, actually.
Right.
The first
Pirates,
yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like everything just leapt off the screen, and it was one of those movies you go to a lot of movies, you see a lot of film, and you think you've reached a point where you've seen nothing that will excite you anymore, nothing that's new. And when I saw the first movie, that was the big difference, is I felt like I was seeing something I'd never seen before. It felt like incredibly fresh and new and exciting, and as the series carried on, I don't feel as strongly about the sequels, although I think they're fantastic. Obviously you never recapture the magic of the first film. And I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about the fourth film, because now Rob Marshall came on board to direct this one. It was, if I remember correctly, did Gore Verbinski do?
He did all three.
He did all three, right? So this is the first time somebody else has taken control.
Yeah, yeah. And what's interesting is that when they did the first movie, I believe it went into development and was in production when Treasure Planet, it was in development when Treasure Planet was released, which is also a Disney movie, and that nobody saw it.
Right.
It completely bombed. They were like actually considering pulling Pirates of the Caribbean from release and not continuing with it, because they're like, well, nobody's going to want to see a pirate movie.
Could you imagine?
And then when they did Dead Man's Chest, which became one, it's like one of the top five grossing movies of all time, worldwide. It's one of the few movies that's made over $1 billion worldwide, you know, up there with like, you know, you have Avatar and Titanic, and I think like the first Harry Potter movie and Star Wars, they've all made over $1 billion, but it's like five or six. And like, I think, Alice in Wonderland and Toy Story 3 both hit those numbers last year, but it's a small group. It's like a half dozen. So, I really enjoyed the first movie. I thought it was fantastic. And the second one was okay, but The biggest problem with sequels is when you try, especially sequels where you do indeed get everybody back, you have to find something for everybody to do.
That's true. And, you know, sometimes that will feel shoehorned in just because you love a character too much to take him off screen.
Yeah. And what they ran into with this was Keira Knightley's character. They're like, well, we got it. And she's the only woman in the movie. I mean, aside from the
Penelope Cruz's character? Or are you talking about
the second one.
Oh, I'm sorry. In the second film. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. She was the only female, really, aside from the witch, the Naomi Harris, who played, I forget her name.
Right.
But so they kind of shoehorned her character in, and I thought the third one just got so convoluted. I still enjoyed them, and rewatched them, they're still fun movies, although they do play very long, I've noticed. Not the first one.
I agree with you about the second two, the two sequels. They do feel like a little bloated, but at the same time, one of the big complaints I have about films of this type is they always trim them down to a 90-minute format and try to make them neat and tidy.
They sure as heck didn't do that.
No. So, like, in a way, I'm kind of glad they lovingly and leisurely took their time with those movies, because either way, I was probably going to bitch. You know, I'd have been like, ah, that's too much. Well, that's not enough. You know,
we're so hard
to please.
It reminded those movies reminded me of the Matrix movies, where you had that freshness from the first one, and you just could never recapture that. There's no way you could never recapture that freshness and unexpected excitement of that first movie, and then continue all the characters and continue a story that really wasn't maybe meant to be continued initially.
Right.
So it suffered from the same problems.
It's risky. It's a risky maneuver. You're dealing with something. You create an instant classic, and the question is, especially when you're catering to, the quote unquote nerd audience that is known for backlash, do you risk the backlash by continuing the franchise? From an artistic standpoint, obviously from a commercial standpoint, you milk the cow to the milk, until the milk runs dry. But I think that's, at least for me, I think the artistic integrity on the sequels I've seen has been maintained, I feel like it's still there. It's not just a cash cow, in my opinion, for Disney. I think that they really do care about these characters and creating these new exciting adventures for them. I can't wait to see On Stranger Tides. I'm thrilled to hear what you have to say about it. So,
well, and here's the thing. First of all, I'll just preface this by saying I really enjoyed the heck out of this movie. I really did enjoy it. It was fun. It was exciting. It had great action. But I will say there are some very decided differences between this and the other three movies. First of all, it's Jack's story. That's what you have to understand. It's Jack's. He is the hero. Whereas if you look at the other three movies, Jack's huge in the movie. But to use a Star Wars analogy, Orlando Bloom was Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Will Turner was Luke Skywalker. Jack Sparrow was Han Solo. He was the roguish scoundrel who was sort of the wild card in a lot of this. But he wasn't his. The hero journey was not his.
Right.
And in this movie, it's his. It's much more his story. So he's not as completely wacky. And I mean, he's still his whole thing where he wanders around and you think he's drunk half the time. But he's not as, I guess you could say, not as gray of a character as he is in the other movies.
Right. So do you feel like they were worried about taking the risk of making him like this morally ambiguous character? Like they didn't want to lead a Disney story with a morally ambiguous character, or do you think it was more subtle?
I think it just wasn't. I just don't think it was going to work in the story. It's got to be his story, and so he's not. It's like the first. Well, even though the first three movies technically kind of kept you guessing as to see, well, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? But you know he's a good guy because they have these movies built around him. So you really don't guess in the first three movies, anyways. But this one, it's like you know he's always kind of. He drives the movie, and it is his story. I think, because I took my cousin, who is a huge fan of the series, and she was disappointed with that. And I'm like, well, it was his movie. I mean, they trimmed out a lot of the you don't have Elizabeth Swann, you don't have Will Turner, you don't have Davy Jones, you don't have the original, you don't have like Norrington or anything like that. You don't have all these other characters. It's just you have some characters from the first three movies, but it's sort of like a James Bond movie or a Indiana Jones movie where they just take this anchor character and they put him in a new adventure. And I loved that. I thought that was great. And I thought it actually breathed life into the series that just had gotten weighted down so much with the previous two sequels. Actually, we got to go to a break. We'll continue talking about Pirates after the break, and we'll see you on the other end. We'll be right back.
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We are talking about Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. But yeah, does that make sense, what I was saying about it being, it's a much more straightforward story.
Right. It's not so much an ensemble piece as it is a hero piece, is what you're saying, kind of where with Jack Sparrow as the lead and everybody else is kind of just supporting cast, right?
It's like the Jack Sparrow, 17th century version of Indiana Jones.
sounds good.
Yeah. And so you kind of have to know that going in, and it's more lighthearted. That's the other thing. It has a different flavor, which I liked, because I thought the first three movies just got gloomier and gloomier and heavier and darker and twisted, and they got more and more complicated, and it just kept going, twisting in on itself. It was nice to sort of, you know, kind of raise up to the top of the water and take a breath and just have more fun. I just found it fun. And I know a lot of people, a lot of the buzz, because earlier reviews came out, earlier buzz was coming out that people were like, oh, people phoned in their performance, or it wasn't as good and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, no, I mean, it's not as good as the first, but I think it's better than the two sequels.
That's saying something. I mean, because I think Verbinski, hopefully. He's just a super talented director, and I was really wondering what Rob Marshall was going to do with mm-hmm. these characters. So I'm really relieved to hear that you enjoyed it, and you know, I'm dying to see it. I know we're definitely headed to the theater to check this one out. Drop some change over there to Disney. They need it right now, I hear.
Well, but they also have, it's 3D conversion. Actually, the 3D looks pretty decent. There's only one or two scenes that I notice it kind of breaking down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but they're getting pretty good with that 3D conversion, I will say.
So you say it's worth the extra ticket price to see it in 3D?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how, if you really like 3Ds and you want to kind of like get in that big experience. One of the things I like about 3D is I've noticed this whenever you're in a 3D movie, there's less talking and a lot less people texting.
You know what? I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Because
you got to keep your head in the right place. And if you ever look, at a cell phone through those 3D glasses, it's annoying.
You know something interesting? A phenomena happened that I would not have expected. Mm-hmm. We went out to the movies, and usually it's a bunch of young, you know, we say those damn teenage kids.
Those teenage kids. You can say, you can swear in this segment.
Those darn,
those fucking kids.
Those flirping snarpins. We went to see Bridesmaids, and the audience was full of silver-haired ARP members, and they were talking just as much as the kids were.
Oh, it's like, I can't exactly rank the people I'd least like to sit near in a movie theater because I would get in trouble.
Right.
For profiling.
No, there's certain things you can tell. Like, it's like, if somebody comes in 5 minutes late into the movie with an armful of stuff they bought at the convenience store, and they're crackling and popping, they've got chips in their mouth already, and they're texting as they walk in.
And they walk in and they like, where you at?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
he's already going on.
You're like, oh no. Yeah. Oh no. Here comes the talker. But you know what? For a while, like, and that's what I was thinking was it's always, you know, the young thug that's coming in ruining the show. But these were silver haired, you know, card carrying golden Buckeye for our Ohio listeners, card carrying ladies. And there's a scene when the lead actress pulls up in her broken down, busted old Toyota. And behind me, I hear this woman say, oh, I'd be so embarrassed.
Oh, my goodness, Horace. How do you do that?
Right. I'm like, oh, my God.
She was embarrassed about that, but she didn't sit there and go, taking a shit in the middle of the road. Oh, my heavens.
Right. So I was
I'm doing that right now. Thank God for adult diapers.
I was like, you'd be embarrassed about that, but not about shouting it out in the movie theater. That you'd be embarrassed and ruining his show for everybody.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it's old people, teenagers, and certain ethnic stereotypes, we'll say.
Yeah. No, it's not you know, it's just that what you come to expect at the movies anymore is you're gonna have a few I call them BHs. That's sort of short for buttholes. Is that too racy for the third segment?
That's that. No, no. You can say buttholes.
Buttholes. There's some buttholes out there in the world. I got my own butthole to deal with.
Well, you know, hey, we have to tend to that. Everybody's got to tend to it.
Yeah.
That and elbows.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I mean, it was, I thought the 3D was actually pretty good in this movie. But then again, it's like, if you don't like 3D, don't go see it in 3D if you can.
Yeah.
You know, don't just sit there and bitch about it. Don't like, I mean, because the thing is, there's almost nothing that's like worth that extra $4. I mean, and I would say over the last couple of years, the only ones that were really, really worth that extra $4 are like Tron and Avatar. The ones that are like conceived completely for 3D.
Right. Toy Story 3 was pretty great in 3D.
I would say, yeah, you know what? I would say almost any animated film is worth.
They look good in 3D. But no, I agree with you. I think, I saw Clash of the Titans, which in general I was really disappointed in. But, you know, that was just icing on the cake that I had paid extra for a pair of 3D glasses that didn't work.
Well, you're not paying for the 3D glasses.
Or whatever.
Because you recycle those damn things. You're paying, because those things, because trust me, those glasses do not cost $4.
Right. What is it the crazy expensive screen, is that right, that they have to project it on?
It's because they can.
Okay. It's because they can. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Well, and they're releasing it in 3D to get more money and also to avoid piracy of the pirate movies. You know.
They're like, your bootleg's all blurry now. How you like that, you BH? Yeah.
Take that, BH, butthole. Yeah.
Those BHs.
Arg. but I did like On Stranger Tides. I liked it quite a bit. But like I said, it is different and it's more lighthearted. It's more colorful than like especially the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like I said, it does remind me. It has that edge of that jungle adventure. It kind of turns into that, which is very Indiana Jonesy. Is the best way to say it. It reminds me of, because Indiana Jones, every Indiana Jones movie has the scene in the jungle.
Right. You know, yeah.
The Raiders, it was the beginning. Temple of Doom, of course, was, well, they're in India, so it's like jungle all over the place. And the third movie, they were in the jungle, and the fourth movie, there's always that jungle adventure scene that's kind of from the old serials. It really felt more like a serial come to life. Than necessarily the real dark, dreary pirate movies. But it was cool. I enjoyed it.
At any point, were you hoping that they would go to Meepos and that Balki Bartokomis would come out dressed up as Captain Jack and it would be on Perfect Stranger, you know, Tides?
And then it shows, and it's like shot on video at that point.
That'd be awesome.
shot on like beta cam. If he like, and he does the Meepos dance of joy.
If Jack Sparrow had walked into the jungle and outwalked Balki Bartokomis.
And then, they'd have a laugh track and everyone clapping when he walks in.
That'd be great. Enters.
And he just kind of looks to the audience and is like, there we go.
Cousin Larry. Yeah. I was just thinking that would be maybe jumping the shark. But, you know,
that might have been the Stranger Tides have happened, too.
That's right.
But no, I'm going to give it a rocks, actually. Because I know a lot of people are just, it's gotten some negative buzz. And I think it's unfounded. I think it's also it does suffer in terms of the, because fanboys are so freaking fickle.
They really are.
You know, they do say that. They say they'll be like, oh, well, I want it to be like this. And I was talking about this last week about like the superhero movies. Everyone's like, oh, I love the fact that Marvel can now, as Marvel Studios can now link everything together. And then when they try, people are like, oh, they just didn't do it right.
Do you tell them that in our day, we used to have to go down to the Nickelodeon, and if we wanted sound, we had to make sound. We had to play our little organ for music, and if we wanted to see the characters talk, we had to say the dialogue. We had to read it from the placards.
Those damn kids.
They
those,
just what'd don't you get call it.
Them? Friggin' Fringalorange?
Yeah, they're just BHs. They're BH juniors.
BH. They're not even a completely formed BH.
That's right.
They're just a dimple.
Yep.
They're not the entire whole.
They're just a little chocolate starfish. You know, it's kind of like, you know, these people are killing themselves making these movies for you, you know?
You know what? If somebody ever offered me a chocolate starfish and it was like a starfish, like shaped, like chocolate shaped like starfish, I would eat it like in a second because I'm fat.
Right. I love chocolate too. I understand.
And I'm chocolate. Yeah. But you know what? Now it could be the best chocolate in the world, but if it was called a chocolate starfish, I don't know if I could do it.
What if it was called a dirty asshole?
I think I could make myself eat that, but it does kind of look like you know those chocolate confections you can get like the candy, mm-hmm. like like bulk candy thing, and it's sort of like this swirl.
Yeah,
that kind of looks like it was pressed upon.
It's kind of a chocolate. BH. Yeah, chocolate starfish. I think that's exactly how they make them.
I have this picture of this very large fat man suspended with no pants on,
yep.
just squishing down Hershey Kisses into this spiral.
And he uses his natural body heat to melt it.
And you're like, no wonder they taste so salty.
Nonpareils. I don't even know if that's what they're called. I have no idea.
What was that?
Something French.
Oh, yeah, just something French.
There's something French.
That's something French.
I mean, have one. French. They're French.
Well, you know, they do that sometimes when they have in other languages. Because you can write anything French. You can sit there and be like, you know, donkey's penis in French. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, let me have some of that. And you're like, you know what that means? No, it's donkey's penis. Well, it tastes delicious.
That's right.
They do that in other languages, like when they want to. It's just so foreign to me to sit there and be like, let's make it sound classy. So let's write it in English.
Right.
But like some like I heard like a lot of times like Asian in Japan or China, sometimes they'll call things with American names, and it'll be like it's like and it's something, it's complete nonsense, but right. just because it's English, it's oh well, it must be American.
You know, it's true. I was in a Mexican grocery store, and they had something that they had a nice name for it in Spanish.
Yeah,
and it was a peasant meat, and I found out it was delicious.
What do they kill peasants?
Well, you know, might as well. But no, it's like pressed tongues and foreheads. You know, basically, it's good. It's delicious. But
it's hot dogs.
Yeah, it's like hot dogs. It's like Mexican hot dogs. It was more like a Mexican gyro meat. I think it was al pastor. But I think everybody makes it differently. But this place, I think it was
good. Everyone makes it different. Just depends on who wanders into the shop.
Right, exactly. What falls into the meat grinder. But it's tasty. But, you know, had it been called lip and forehead meat, I might not have ordered it. But because now I know.
Oh, you know,
like
you would. You would. You totally yeah. would.
It's good.
Especially if it had chocolate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate lip and forehead meat.
That sounds strangely enticing.
So, speaking of strange meats, there's another movie that's opening this week.
Yes.
I'm just going to give a little nod to, and the reason I'm putting in this segment, because I got way too many puns about it, is apparently Jodie Foster's Beaver is opening wide to the nation. rolling out. And I'm not going to get a chance to see Jodie Foster's Beaver.
At least not soon.
Well, not the movie.
Maybe on your deathbed.
Was she going to show up?
She will.
And be like, look at this, baby. And I'll be like, could you have trimmed just a tad?
The priest has brought someone to see you, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, it's me, Jodie Foster.
She turned into the old child molester from Family Guy?
She sounds like him.
She sounds like him. Do you want to see my beaver, Kevin?
And I'll be like, I don't know. Is this like Beaver? Is this like Freaky Friday Beaver? Or is this going to be like twice as old as Flight Plan Beaver?
Flight Plan Beaver. That sounds like an alternative name for that meat I ate. Flight Plan Beaver.
Flight Plan Beaver, a.k.a. Lip and Forehead Beaver.
That's just wrong.
Oh, man. Anyways. This is one of those movies because Pirates of the Caribbean, Tree of Life, and The Beaver have all premiered at Cannes Film Festival,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you get the sort of mixed reviews from Pirates and there's been some mixed reviews, although there's been the whole Terrence Malick movie reviewers loving Tree of Life, but there's some mixed reviews coming out on that. And then Jodie Foster's Beaver is not getting was not well received.
Wasn't?
I can't remember.
Did they say it was flaccid?
It hung like a wizard's cloak. Isn't that one? Is it wizard sleeve? Isn't
like
that
sleeve
one,
of wizard? Yeah, yes, like Borat's wife. Yeah. Yes. They say that her beaver it just wasn't warm and inviting like they thought that a character piece should be.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And it should have like enveloped you and just wrapped itself around you.
You know what? I would love to see a headline: Jodie Foster's Beaver lifeless and limp.
Well, it's like I saw the box office headline last week was for this past weekend was Thor Hammer's Bridesmaids, and I'm like, really? Really? This sounds like some drunk frat guy
who
crashes a wedding and he's just like, I'm gonna fuck anything that moves.
Or it's kind of like, yeah, you thought it was a story about violence against women. And it's, yeah, you know, it's like, it does, it just, that's just a poor choice of headlines in general.
Yeah, exactly. And they were actually gonna screen The Beaver for us, and it was gonna be like on a Thursday morning, and then they like must have moved the release date because it's really not opening that wide. It's sort of, it's doing the sort of limited release.
Sorry.
And then they pulled this is why it's in this segment. So then they pulled the release. They pulled Jodie Foster's Beaver off the market. And we get this email and they said, no, we're not going to show this movie. Oh, by the way, it opens on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so I put on Facebook, I said, well, I'm not going to get a chance to see Jodie Foster's Beaver. That's why I don't want to see her stinking beaver anyways.
Do you feel like that the world only got to see a flash of Jodie Foster's Beaver?
I think Jodie Foster's Beaver has been worn out. She thinks her beaver will be better received in Europe.
Yeah.
Because they're into that sort of thing. Apparently.
Well, we could smell that coming.
Maybe they needed to get some trim it, and they had to trim some stuff out of it for the American release. I don't know. Anyways, this one gets a preemptive suck.
I love the idea of it.
I wish they would release more movies. You know, I like with names like that. I mean, I want to see like Rob Reiner's vagina. That's what I want to see.
Oh boy.
Anyways, do you have anything else to say about, or have we said enough about Jodie Foster's Beaver?
I think so. We could go on and on about Jodie Foster's Beaver.
I hear Mel Gibson's in Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Yeah, he was in there.
I hear he was trying to make a comeback in Jodie Foster's Beaver.
It didn't work out so well. No.
Anyways, there is a, we did not get a voicemail this week from Steve Beaver Gabe. Who's left voicemails the last couple of weeks. But I did get an email. Oh, I got contacted through Words with Friends. Do you play Words with Friends, Freddie?
You know, I had it, and I bought, like, Scrabble, and apparently no one plays the real, like, the regular Scrabble game. So yeah. I'm going to have to go back to Words with Friends.
Only nerds play real Scrabble. I know. How is it different? Have you played both of them?
I have played both of them. I just like the interface. And now this sounds, now I sound like a real nerd.
Wow.
It just,
how big of a nerd are you that you're like,
huge.
I don't think that the interface for Words with Friends is quite as simple as Scrabble.
The tiles move smoother and I enjoy the Retina display.
But it was there and I was like, it's flashy looking. It's a flashier Words with Friends. Other than that, it's the same game.
And there's like nobody, but there's nobody playing it. So you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I don't try very hard. Like I'll get on there and I'll be like, oh, nobody's on at this very instant. So I don't put the effort forth to really do it.
You'll be like, find a random game.
Right.
And it's some like kid in Bangladesh who stole a smartphone from a tourist.
It's like all of these say Great Satan on them. Like all of his answers involve the Great Satan somehow. And he keeps like killing me on points because, you know, infidel is worth like 72.
I know. Especially if you get that triple word score.
Right.
And get the F on the triple letter and then the triple word.
Isn't that where we should really focus our efforts is on words with enemies?
So that that's true.
Maybe we can make them friends.
I'm making some enemies in my Words with Friends because I'm cutthroat.
Are you? You hardcore?
Because what it is, there are some people who, I'm not going to say where people rank in there, mm-hmm. but there's some people I play with that I'll just quickly play a word because they're not as, there are some people that are really good.
Yeah.
So some players who like you have to be really careful not to set them up for something because then they'll be like, you know, 86 point word and you just off of your 5 point word.
Right.
So I Merrill who does the Idiot Boxers podcast, I played a 106 point word on him and I just crushed his spirit. It was it was kind of fun to watch because he's like, really? So
you're a bully.
But there's one guy named Ryan who's been playing games with me, asked where AG Gecko comes from. That's my screen. Anyone who wants to play Words with Friends, my screen name's AG Gecko, AGGECKO. And he asked where it came from. And I said, I can't, because you can text in the Words with Friends interface.
Can you do that with a Scrabble?
You have something like that. I'm pulling it up right now so I can answer all your Scrabble questions.
but it's a long story. It's too long to put into any sort of text. But where AG Gecko comes from, because anyone who plays with me sees that that's my name. Where it comes from, so I thought I'd just take a diversion and explain this. So you can go get a sandwich if you want, or you can listen. but what it is, my wife and I honeymooned in Hawaii. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No, I want to go so badly. I can taste it. I can taste the pineapples.
You taste it, you're like, taste salty. It tastes like one of those chocolate things. It's gold chocolate starfishes.
It does. Just like it.
So we honeymooned in Hawaii, and in mm-hmm. Hawaii they have a lot of geckos, which are a lot of people know what they are now because of the gecko, the Geico gecko.
Yeah.
And these little lizards that have sticky feet, and they kind of go up the walls and they hide behind lamps, and they're all over the place, and they're harmless, you know. They're not even like cockroaches. They're not like pests or anything.
They're adorable,
but they're freaking everywhere in Hawaii. And it's sort of like a national symbol. They have there's certain animals that are very well known for being Hawaiian animals, like wild pigs and geckos. And so we were at Hilo Hattie, which is a gift shop there, and I bought my wife these gecko earrings. She wanted a little necklace charm, so that we couldn't find a charm. So what we did is we got this necklace and we bought these earrings, and I found this little gecko earring and I put it on. And have you ever done the thing where if your charm on your necklace spins around to your clasp, and that's if you go to somebody and you take it and you put it back to the back of their neck and that you make a wish? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I don't wear charm necklaces.
But you're aware of people wear them.
No one I know. No one. I know nothing of charms. It's against my religion.
What is this? It makes no sense to me. No.
That's black. But that's black magic.
It is.
That's what
in
I
India,
hear
from India.
That's right.
But no, it's if the clasp meets the charm, you do that and you make a wish, and that's what it is. And so we got home from Hawaii, and I do that, and whenever my wife sees that, because we were newly married, so we're gross. And so we're like, oh, look, make a wish. So we do that, and when we were in Hawaii, the car we had was a Dodge Neon, which was a big car back in when I got married, back in the mid-90s. And we had clunker car. We had crappy cars because we were just married when we got back. And so,
did you have a Spin Doctors album in the tape deck?
We had 8-track. No. So what happens one day driving home from work, I got in a big accident on the freeway and on Interstate 70. It's like very soon after, like a couple weeks after we got back from our vacation. And so I got crashed, and my front end of my truck was all beat up. And so the cop, there was a guy in front of me, because cell phones weren't that, they weren't common then. So the guy in front of me had one. He let me call Carol and my wife, and she then had to come get me. And I was just taking a long time. I'm sitting in the cop car because they're trying to process, because it was like this big 5-car accident. And then the officer comes up over to me. He's like, oh, hey, your wife is on her way, but she got in an accident on the way over and somebody had hit her. So we had literally two accidents within an hour of each other.
Wow.
And so we had to file the insurance claims, and I like call the insurance. I'm like, okay, here's this. Okay, wait, stay on the line. Here's another one, you know. And so then we got the big insurance settlement because her car was totaled and my car had to be fixed. And since it was new, relatively new enough, they'd fix it. And then we were walking around trying to figure, we were going to figure out what kind of car we were going to get with the insurance thing. And I look at my wife and I go, oh, hey, your clasp, here, make a wish. And I grab the gecko and the clasp and I put it around. And then I stop and I look at her and I go, you wished for a new car, didn't you?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And her eyes get, she's like, yes. But, and I'm like, oh my God, haunted gecko. Oh my God. And so I was freaking out.
It's like
out
that episode of the Brady Bunch. You know what I'm talking about, when they're on their Hawaiian vacation?
The little tiki, statue. Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Freaked me out. So I, whenever I use, I always would go Silver Gecko was my, was when I like started writing for stuff, because it was a little silver charm and it was a gecko.
Gotcha. And the AG is the symbol for silver, right?
You are genius.
I paid attention in chemistry class.
Most people don't know that. Most people like, and then I explain that to them and take forever, and then they go, "Well, what does AG mean?" I go, "It's silver. It's AG gecko."
You're like, "Ag, dummy." Yeah.
Duh.
Jeez.
So anyways, that's the explanation of where AG gecko comes from. So
I will never ever forget that now.
Yeah.
So now, if I ever see AG gecko on anything, I'm gonna notice you now.
Yeah. And well, and then when you go on Words with Friends, because I sure as hell ain't gonna download that Scrabble bullshit.
No, you can't even. I couldn't even find a friend to play with to test the chat to see if they had a chat. No one will play with me. It's depressing.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to box office real quick. We'll just like slam through this.
Sure.
Thor hammered Bridesmaids. The box office. But Bridesmaids did actually pretty well. You liked it, didn't you?
I loved it. Amy, my wife, she really, really loved it. And she is hard to please with a movie.
Well, she has a vagina.
Yeah,
at least I'm assuming. I may be going out on a limb here. I don't mean to talk about your wife's lady bits, but I'm assuming.
She's got special, all kinds of extra stuff going on.
She's got an extra vagina?
I took her in. I had her souped up.
What is she making money on the side? Or something
yeah. She's kind of like Rosie from the Jetsons now.
Wow. Where is her second vagina? Is it on her ankle?
It's between her sixth and seventh ribs.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is. It's pretty amazing. It was expensive.
I'm sure it was.
It was.
And you're a good man.
Well, you know.
And an exhausted man.
I treat my lady right.
Okay, so she loved Bridesmaids with her seven or eight vaginas she has all over her body.
Yeah, we had a great time with it. It was really funny. I think it, you know, I had no regrets of going out and dropping the dough on it, you know, and I'm a cheapskate. So I highly recommend it. It's a great date movie. Even if you're a single guy, I still recommend it. I think it was awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it elevated the chick flick to a whole new level.
Wow. Well, it was, I put out on Twitter, I personally didn't like it, but you can hear me talk about it in the last mm-hmm. episode, but I recognize a lot of people loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it was by the numbers. Don't get me wrong. So like if I had one criticism of it, it's that it is basically The Hangover for women.
Yeah.
But it's so well acted. And at least in my humble opinion, yeah, I think that the performance has really elevated the material to a whole another place.
Yeah. What's funny is when I put it on Twitter, I said, congratulations to Bridesmaids for making over $26 million in the box office. Non-congratulations to moviegoers who are now going to be thrown every rip-off fart comedy for women out there now. Because everyone's going to be like, we're going to do shit comedies, and they're going to be puking and all that kind of stuff.
It should begin and end with Bridesmaids. I agree with you there. This is not something that no one should even attempt to imitate this movie, but sadly they're going to in droves, I think.
Oh, they totally are.
But I laughed a lot. And you know what? Like I was ready. I guess I needed a laugh, and I saw it, and it did exactly what I hoped it would. It put a smile on my face after I had a bad day. So really, I mean, that's all you can ask of a comedy, I think, in a lot of respects. But I think it has a high rewatch value too.
I would think your wife's extra vaginas would give you a smile on your face after a long day.
Sometimes I'm just scared of them.
they are a bit demanding.
Yeah.
Do they synchronize their cycles? Anyway.
Well, they're just everywhere, you know?
it's a bloody mess.
Yeah.
Anyways, did you see Priest? I finally saw Priest. Did you see Priest?
I didn't see Priest. I'm one of the few nerds on the face of the earth who has never read the comic book.
Well, I haven't read the comic
book. Oh, you haven't either. Okay. Well, yeah. I wanted to. I honestly didn't think the movie looked that good. Good to me, but I like the idea, so I kind of wanted to read give the comic a chance before I kind of tainted the experience with the movie. I didn't.
Taint is a great word for this movie.
Yeah, really? Is it that bad?
Oh, it's awful. It's so awful. It's like written with the script has the competence of Rebecca Black's Friday's lyrics.
Wow, that's saying something.
Oh, it's terrible. And it has Cam Giggity Giggity Goo as one of the actors. And he's pretty to look at, but he's a terrible actor. And it's just he's delivering these dialogue, and it feels like he's got poop in his mouth. It's just awful.
Wow.
So yeah, no, Priest was so bad. It was such a bad movie, and it just made no sense. And what's funny is it's based on what, a Korean graphic novel?
I don't know where it originally came from.
I think it's Korean. There is, and you can talk about this on Asian Week on or Asian Month on Night of Living Podcast. I think there might be an Asian guy in the movie.
You just can't tell because he's under white pancake makeup.
Well, there is one killer vampire hunting priest who's Asian. Mm-hmm. Of course, what he does, all these martial arts. It's racist thing in the world.
Does he cook with a wok?
Then he's like. I can't even think of a good Asian stereotype at this point because they already did it.
Did he stake somebody with chopsticks?
He should have.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Totally, kind of. Did he cure awesome. Him with sticky rice? That's how they do it with the hopping vampires and Mr. Vampire. You got to use sticky rice. It's important. That's
awesome. Sticky rice would work.
Yeah.
Now I want sticky rice, man. I'm so hungry for sticky rice. I wish there was a 24-hour Asian sticky rice restaurant somewhere.
Mr. Sticky Rice's 24 Hut.
There you go.
Because their grasp of English wasn't too good. So it's Mr. Sticky Rice's 24 Hut.
24 Hut.
Yep.
That would be, I would so go there.
Home of the happy-go-lucky time.
A happy ending. Yeah. Sticky time.
Sticky happy ending.
It's amazing. It's that happy ending sticky time. It's a totally different crowd than they expect.
Right, yeah, everybody's disappointed.
Everyone's like, wait a minute, this is what's the happy ending? It's like, well.
Yeah, what can you do?
Anyways, what do you think is going to win this weekend? Do you think think Pirates are going to hammer Thor?
I think so. I think Pirates is going to – but then again, I'm a sucker, man. I thought that for me, I predicted last season that Salt was going to kill it, and look how wrong I was.
It did okay.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to have, like, this big critically acclaimed opening weekend, and then it was going to blow up or something. But yeah, I have a hard time gauging what the public really wants anymore.
Yeah.
It blows me away, some of the films that are these huge successes. So, but my money would be on Pirates.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, considering Thor was at $32 million, and even if it just drops, like, 20%, it's still going to be in the 20s. I think Pirates, because here's the thing, Pirates is the only thing, aside from Jodie Foster's Beaver flopping out there for everybody to see, Pirates is the only wide release this weekend at all. Last weekend, Thor just did a twofer, but Thor's kind of run its course. Fast Five's way run its course. It's the only, I mean, I think 60, 70 million easy for Pirates. I definitely think that there's the audience there for that.
I think so. I think they haven't. Even though, you know, there's the belly aching nerds out there, I don't think they've betrayed their core audience. I think the core audience is still willing to go to the theater to see the movie.
Yeah, no, I think it's totally going to win. And then it'll be Thor, Bridesmaids. I think Bridesmaids is going to hold really well. But even, I mean, it got 26, so if it drops, I mean, it's still going to be in the teens.
Yeah.
As is Thor. But Thor might actually lose a little bit of steam because it's going to lose 3D theaters. It's going to lose the IMAX. It's going to lose it's going for the same audience. So I think Bridesmaids is going to hold better than Thor will. And then Priest is just going to sink like a dead priest.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Fat Guy 5. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we move on to the Fat Guy 5?
No, man, I'm feeling good, you know?
No more talk about BHs or
no, I got all that angry, starfish. BH, chocolate starfish stuff out of my system. I'm at peace now.
Okay. The Fat Guy 5 this week is their 5 favorite pirate movies. Because as we said earlier, originally they didn't think that the first Pirates of the Caribbean was going to make much money. And so they were sort of sneaking it out there. Little did they know. But these are 5 of our favorites, just sort of cobbled together. The first one is Captain Blood. I'm doing these out of order than I think what I sent you.
Oh, so that's okay.
Let me just send that list to you. Just hold on. It might come through Skype, and you might hear a bleep. That's the Skype sending. That's the order we're doing them. I mean, so we got Captain Blood. This is an Errol Flynn film movie from like 1935. And honestly, I don't remember anything about this movie, but I remember seeing it when I was a kid and thinking it was totally awesome.
That sounds absolutely fair.
Apparently, it was awesome enough for me to not ever watch again. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray release.
Yeah, when we get to what I have to say later, I have a very similar experience with a different movie.
Yeah. So the next one is Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. This is, of course, the pirate movie that started the big pirate craze. Arg. We already talked about that in the first segment. So anything else you want to say about Pirates of the Caribbean, or is it Caribbean?
I think that if you have not been to Disneyland or World to ride the ride, you're doing yourself a horrible disservice.
But here's the thing. As a family man, uh-huh. I got three kids.
Yeah.
It like would cost us, I think, something. We priced it out. It's like $250 just to walk in the door.
It's expensive. It's insanely expensive. And that's not even counting
parking. But you also have to understand, I have been a movie critic. I've been a restaurant critic. I've been a theater critic. I would write for newspaper. I used to write for newspaper in town, and I'd get like passes to, you know, when Spamalot came to town and Cirque du Soleil. I'm not used to paying for entertainment.
Right.
Unless I go to, unless I go to Mr. Happy Ending Sticky Time.
Yeah, you pay for your sticky happy ending rights time.
Yes. But so, I mean, it's like we priced it out, because I'm actually going to be heading down to Florida this year, but I'm just like, there's no way we can go to Disney. It's just too expensive.
It is insanely expensive. It's one of those things. It's for a lot of people, especially who have, you know, more than one child, I think, yeah. You know, it's a once in a lifetime thing. It's nuts.
Wow.
I agree with you. I think it can be completely cost prohibitive for a lot of people. You gotta, like, we monitor Disney deals all the time just to see if it's even remotely possible. And then we subsist on like grilled cheese and tomato soup for months at a time to save.
So then you go to Disney and you just shit yourself the entire time.
That's not too far from the truth. And we'll be real pasty pale, and we're real sick and malnutrition by the time we get there.
Do you when you go to Disney, do you go for like several, because isn't, you have to do it for a couple of days, so already right then you're talking $1,000.
Yeah, if you look at, like, to give you a ballpark idea, it costs us as a couple about $1,200 for food all together. We got a hell of a deal.
$1,200. How long were you there?
For
like 3 years.
We were there for a week. It was our lodging, our food, and our tickets to the parks.
Actually, that's not bad for two people.
No.
For a week.
$600. You know, you figure about $100 a day, including food. So, like, we didn't pay for anything else other than the gas to drive down. But, you know, like, I'm a huge fan of, I think, Disney in general. And I know that, like, a lot of hardcore independent media people, like, hate Disney because it's this.
Fuck them.
Right, exactly. It's this behemoth that is you know, corporate art and everything. But
they think,
like,
it's Mouse Witch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have no issue with that. They do a good job. The entertainment that they provide is awesome. I think I even enjoy a lot of their movies.
I love Disney. I think Disney, and yes, do they make money? Sure, but I don't think they make money dishonestly.
No, they come by it in an honest way.
Yeah.
And I think the people that work for that company are pretty passionate. The filmmakers down all the way down to the people that work at the parks are very passionate about.
I know a lot of people at Disney, and I'll tell you, I've done some Disney junkets, and the Disney people are good people.
They are
really, really good people.
And once I've met some disgruntled ex-Disney employees, but like most of them carry that with them for life, and that you can just tell that at some point they were part of that corporate attitude that they have there. And like, I'll tell you, man, this is turning into like a weird Disney commercial. I just
sort of swerved from chocolate starfish and adult diapers into a Disney rah-rah Disney.
Exactly. Well, you know what? It's the Pirates movie combined with, you know, getting down there and going on that ride for the first time as a grown man. It was a magical experience.
You're there pushing six-year-old kids out of the way. Get out of my way.
That's
kid.
How I felt. I was like, I want to see the Pirates. So, you know, it was, they were fantastic to go through that ride and see all this, in person is, it feels almost real. It was cool. Just awesome. So like, and that even solidified my, fanboy, attitude towards the Pirates movies even more. Like now I look for those little details.
Are they going to be doing a new Pirates ride called Pirates of the Somali Ocean?
that's at Universal Studios.
Okay.
It's a little bloodier.
What's what's the next movie on our list?
On the next, the new list that you sent me after Captain Blood and Pirates was, you threw out, now this was, I have a similar situation to what you had with Captain Blood on this one. Yeah. There's a film, it's not your traditional pirate movie, but 1984's The Ice Pirates. With Robert
is it
Europe.
The Ice Pirates or is it just Ice Pirates?
I think it's The Ice Pirates, and it is it plays kind of almost like a Mel Brooks comedy, and I don't.
It's pirates in space, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they're space. It's like a space opera where they're it's almost like pre-Spaceballs, yeah. Spaceballs. Only yeah. I don't know that it was supposed to be funny. Again, I haven't seen it since I was a child.
No, it
eight.
Was supposed to be. I remember when it came out. I never saw it, but I remember when it came out, and they billed it as being funny.
Yeah, so it was a pretty ridiculous movie, but it's one of my favorite pirate movies. And if you've never seen The Ice Pirates, I think it's on DVD. You can probably get a copy.
I'm checking right now because if it's on Netflix. I might have to check this out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years. I'm going to have to pick up a copy of it again myself. Because it's totally worth it. I mean, it's just so frigging weird. You know, the cast is... it's like 80s television stars. And they're just... It's got this kind of caper... This comic caper situation going on where they're running around. If I remember right, they're trying to save this princess's father. And it's just... It's just a ridiculous.
Oh my God! It's got John Carradine and Angelica Houston in it.
Yeah, yep.
It is not on instant, but I am totally.
Yeah, Ron Perlman's in it too.
Well, Ron Perlman's in anything.
That's true. Bruce Valanche is in it.
Oh my God!
So if that doesn't get you out to see this movie, what will?
Robert Urich leads the cast.
Yeah, he's the star. Yeah. Wow, Robert Urich, baby.
One thing I do, I have to add on, Captain Blood. I really wish that Captain Blood would become a euphemism for having your period.
I think it already is.
Is it? Because it's not much of a euphemism. Because a euphemism is supposed to be like, oh, I have my monthly visitor. You know, it's supposed to be very, you know, ambiguous. Whereas be like, I have Captain Blood in my pants.
Or you could be like, Captain Blood has seized my booty.
Yeah. And somebody be like, is that really better than I'm having my period?
No, that's way worse.
I'm awash with the scarlet flow. Really? That's the euphemism you're going to go with? Anyways, speaking of euphemism for your period, the next one is Cutthroat Island.
Is that a slang term for
I don't know
something?
But I want it to be. I so want it to be.
That is so rough.
I don't even know what it would be a slang term for because it just sounds painful.
It does. I gave her the old Cutthroat Island.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. That yeah. sounds like something gangsters do to one another.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I was playing another Words with Friends story. I was playing and I used penis. I used my penis. I threw down my penis for 20 points.
Wow.
And then the person... used the P in there and made pie. And I texted him. This is actually the same person who asked about the screen name, AJ Gecko. I said, you made pie out of my penis. I said, that sounds really painful.
Penis pie.
Delish. Speaking of penis pie, Cutthroat Island. We were talking about that. Rennie Harlan, guilty pleasure. Matthew Modine, in spite of Matthew Modine being in the movie. This is a great little pirate movie. It made zero money.
I forced a friend to see this with me. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
And he didn't talk to me for almost a week.
Really?
He was so mad at me.
He yeah. didn't like it?
He hated it.
I haven't seen it in a while, so it might not hold up.
He hated me for Cutthroat Island.
Well, he was a penis pie. Yeah, no, that's all there is to it.
You know, we reconnected after that week, after he got over it. But I thought it was kind of fun.
I've always loved Cutthroat Island. I thought it was good. I just don't think that anyone was kind of expecting. Plus, I think the cast was bad. Gina Davis and Matthew Modine as action heroes just didn't quite work.
No, although Gina Davis was at that time in particular very very sexy leading lady.
Yeah,
I mean, I always thought I kind of had a thing for Gina Davis.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, she's okay. I look at her now and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of teeth there, the cheekbones all over the place. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, she's also gotten very old and she's got a puffy face.
Right, yeah. I mean, I go back sometimes and I'm like, what was I thinking? You know what I mean? Like, not that I'm a...
You go back to the Tootsie days when she was in her underwear when Dustin Hoffman was changing.
I think it was more like, wow, what a body.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you grow up, sir.
Yeah.
Anyways, the last one is one of my favorite pirate movies of all time is Treasure Planet. Again, a movie nobody saw.
I saw this one in the theater, too.
Did you see it in IMAX? Because it was freaking spectacular in IMAX.
I wish I had. I thought it was so really cool. I like that they kind of retrofitted the old, you know, Treasure Island story.
I thought it was incredibly clever. I thought it was very clever putting Treasure Island. What's funny is speaking of Disney junkets, I was on a Disney junket to the Princess and the Frog Blu-ray release last year and got to interview the directors, which is Ron Clement and John Musker.
I love that movie. Love that movie.
Princess and the Frog?
I do. Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, the guys who directed it also directed Treasure Planet. And so I did this little one-on-one interview with him, and I asked him all the questions I needed to for Princess and the Frog. As I was getting up, I said, I just have to say, I absolutely love Treasure Planet. And he's like, you're the only one. He was very grateful. He was very, Ron Clements, I think, was the guy, it was the one I said it to. And he said he loved doing it, but nobody else did except me.
That's funny. I met Joe Dante, I was warned by a friend or something of his. They were like, don't tell him. I was like, I love the Burbs. And they're like, don't tell him that. Like, he's very sensitive about the Burbs for some reason.
Sensitive. He's really sensitive that people liked his movie.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, she's like, he's going to think you're being sarcastic.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay, well, I will not tell him that I love the Burbs.
But he's like, bring on Gremlins praise, please.
Right, I guess. But I felt like I couldn't say anything at that point. I'm like, anybody that, you know, just naturally assumes that someone is being sarcastic when they tell them they enjoyed their work, you're kind of like, oh, great, this is somebody who I'm now intimidated by.
Honestly, I would have just been. Was it a publicist or was it just like another?
I have no idea what their connection was to him. It was just a person that was with him that I was talking to.
I would have been like, "Fuck you!" I'm going to say it anyways. Yeah, I would preface it. I'd preface it by going, you know, I know you probably think this is a total joke, but I do. I absolutely love the Burbs. I think it was the greatest movie. Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it myself, but
you personally haven't seen it?
No, I haven't.
You know, I think it's one of the most underrated dark comedies.
Really?
Of all time.
Yeah. Well, it was at this time where Tom Hanks, because everyone, here's the thing, people think of like when there's a big star, like you mentioned Keira Knightley for the Pirates movies. That was her first big movie. Nobody knew who she was.
Yeah.
At all. They were like, that's the girl who kind of looks like Natalie Portman, you know?
Right.
And Tom Hanks, everyone thinks Tom Hanks now is like, oh, Oscar winner, blah, blah, blah. He's gone through ups and downs because he was doing like Bosom Buddies and then he did Splash and that did very well.
Right.
And then after he did Splash, he kind of rode that, but he made a whole series of just terrible movies in the 80s, like The Man with One Red Shoe and The Muddy Pit.
Like The Muddy Pit.
Really? It's Shelley Long.
Yeah.
I can't take her seriously.
Yeah. I guess I could see that from some people, like, you know, Shelley Long could be a bit much
from some people like you,
you know, you smack of Shelley Long hate.
I do. I am totally about Shelley Long hate.
When I looked at your yearbook photo, I just knew.
You wouldn't recognize me with my yearbook photo.
You had that t-shirt on that said Shelley Long sucks.
Shelley Long can suck my chocolate pancake or no my chocolate starfish. Chocolate pancake. What the hell am I thinking? I know what I'm thinking. I want chocolate pancakes. That's what I'm thinking.
Pancakes. I haven't had pancakes in 2 months.
I've had pancakes in 6 hours. All right. Are we about done? We should go to the next segment.
We probably should. I do want to give honorable mention to one more pirate movie.
Yeah, rock yourself out.
1996's Conquest starring Jenna Jameson. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean, but everybody's doing it.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean, only with no condoms.
Right. So it's basically the same movie, only everyone's doing it.
Wow. It's way more butt sex.
Exactly. It's got twice, I'd venture to say three times the amount of butt sex as Curse of the Black Pearl.
Who else is in this? Because Jenna Jameson, she's in everything.
everything.
Vince Ware is in it. Tom Byron. I'm naming a lot of male stars, aren't I? How about Missy?
Ooh, Missy was cute.
Asia Carrera.
Ooh, you know she's like a genius.
She is a genius.
She is a genius.
Yeah, she went to she graduated from Rutgers, is that right, or somewhere? I heard she graduated with honors and all this stuff.
Yeah, no, she's very smart and she's a total geek too. I mean, a tech geek.
Yeah.
So,
and she's a master pianist.
Yes,
that's from what I hear. She likes to play the piano.
You and I have connected on a whole new level. We probably were not aware existed.
We both know too much about Asia Carrera.
Yeah, so you just start naming names. Everyone's going to be like, "Who are these perverts?"
Yeah,
I'm like, "Oh, she was cute."
We're approximately, we're close in age, so these are the our the pinup girls of our generation.
These were the videos that we could actually go in and rent without having to sneak in and rent.
Exactly. These are the high school and college years of a man discovering that he likes Asia Carrera.
Yeah.
So it's different now with the internet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody's doing, point of view porn internal cum shots, and
there are no stars. There's no glamour anymore.
There's no glamour. It's all just it's bleached assholes here and there. That's right. Come on. What happened to a dirty little socket?
It's just wrong. Is this for the Wyoming radio program?
This is how we're closing it out. The entire show, because it'll never be on the air ever again. Speaking of Wyoming radio, we got to go to a break. We're going to stop talking about porno stars and bleached assholes, and then we will talk about DVDs that have nothing to do with bleached assholes.
Sounds good. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. I'm guest fat guy. I'm the guest fat guy, Freddie from NOTLP.com.
That's right.
Here with the master of fat guys at the movies, Kevin.
I feel I have to do sort of rapper hype man noises.
And so far, we've had quite the discussion. This is my first time on, and we've managed to go through everything from pirate movies to pornography to chocolate starfish.
Stuff that we probably shouldn't be mentioning on the radio.
Right.
Definitely don't want to mention on the radio. Anyways. So we had a whole lot of just inappropriate discussion. Don't go there if you're at all easily offended. So stay away from the internet-only segment. Stay to our very squeaky clean three radio segments otherwise. But now, what time is it?
I think it's time for the world-famous DVD Roundup.
There you go. That awesome sound effect. That's the first time you've experienced that awesomeness firsthand.
Did you have an actual whip in the room with you?
I got Lucasfilm Skywalker Sound to pull one of the vintage Indiana Jones whips.
Wow.
And send me a picture, and then I made that noise.
That's impressive.
Isn't it?
You are connected.
I am. I just stole it. No, I drew a picture of it with a little stick figure of Indiana Jones next to it. He has a hat.
That's how you know it's Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
The hat.
It's either him or Freddy Krueger. Anyways, what do we got? DVDs, there's not a whole lot right this week. There's The Mechanic, which is actually pretty good. Did you see the remake?
I haven't seen the remake, but I the original Mechanic from 72 with Bronson, I love it.
I think
it's a great story.
Brilliant story. They actually preserve the story pretty well. And I mean, they don't do that first whole reel where there's no dialogue and it's all him planning to blow somebody up. It's a lot more high octane done that way. But I enjoyed it. It was one of the better CBS films. One of the better films from CBS Films. So it's worth checking out, even if you like the original. There's also Lemonade Mouth, which is a Disney Channel movie. Check it out for kids. And then The Right is the other one. Now, you didn't like it, did you?
No. When I saw The Right, I like Anthony Hopkins, but he has kind of let me down twice recently with The Wolfman and now this. I don't think
you can blame Anthony Hopkins for The Wolfman.
Well, I don't blame him for The Wolfman, but I do blame him for his part in The Wolfman, and I do feel like he had... he has stopped taking his craft seriously. In my opinion, I don't think that he cares anymore about what he's doing. And and I think that shows in the right.
It's kind of like from more Dracula so. On.
Yeah, he comes off as like, you know, we described it on NOTLP as bitchy gay once okay. he's possessed by the devil, and yeah. You know, so like, and it was like kind of played out. It's like where you expect how you expect him to play the role, and the sweet parts of the movie where he's playing kind of the patronly like. Wise old priest are okay, but like overall it's just another Exorcist ripoff to me. I mean, and it's not even that the story is the same, but I know they're going for the tone of the conflicted priest who finds faith again by experiencing an authentic, you know, exorcism, right? And it just doesn't play well. I don't think it's very genuine.
See, what's funny is I had zero, maybe it's just where expectations come. Because when I got this, I wanted to see it with the curiosity of wanting to see Season of the Witch back in January, which was terrible, but just ridiculous and fun. This one, I was expecting absolute garbage. And so when I watched it, and I'm like, oh, this is okay. This is mildly entertaining. Yeah, it gets a little bit goofy. I don't, you know, there's not a big, you know, it's so hard to do exorcism scenes without having to be ripoffs of The Exorcist.
Right.
It's just so hard to do that. And they fall into a lot of traps there. But overall, I was kind of, I found it way more interesting than I should have. It's got more, the first half's better than the second half. But as a movie, it's, I thought it was okay.
I'd like to see somebody do an exorcism movie. Not to draw this portion of the, you know, the discussion out too much. You know, I could go on for hours about this particular topic. Sure. But like, I would love to see somebody just do a gritty, you know, if you're going to go third world and you're going to have these characters who are, I'm tired of seeing the waspy white priests go into these, other cultures to help exorcise demons out of the natives or whatever. I would love to see like a movie where maybe the heroic character is some sort of local witch doctor.
Yeah.
Dealing with, you know what I mean? It might just been more interesting for me instead of seeing yet another, you know, Catholic priest exorcism movie.
But that's really where it is. And when I wrote my drinking game for Film School Rejects on this, I basically said Hollywood is incredibly secular. It's fiercely secular. And they do that to maximize their audience until they do an exorcism movie and suddenly they find God.
Right.
And that tends to be the way things are. So... I don't know. I thought it was okay. The stinger of the week that I picked is The Roommate, which is terrible. It's single white female in college, and they don't even acknowledge the fact that they're totally ripping off single white female. Bad movie. It is so bad on so many levels. It's just, it's awful. Avoid it. But other than that, review wrap up. We got Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which I said rocked. And next week we're going to be talking about The Hangover Part 2 and Kung Fu Panda Part 2. So two big number twos. Next week. Thank you, Freddie, from Night of Living Podcast for coming on the show. Real quick, tell us where to get a hold of you.
You can visit us at notlp.com or you can email me, Freddie with a Y at notlp.com. And you can also call into our show at 206-202-0456 if you ever want to leave us a voicemail.
Rock on. Thank you again, Freddie, for being on the show. And we will see you all next week.
Thanks.